I'm Hillary.
And I'm Sandra. So we're in the middle of a pandemic right now. And if you are in self-isolation and alone and single, how do you date?
It's a difficult thing, but we're going to talk to the co-founder of a brand new online dating app that had to change their ways a little bit to fit into the COVID world.
The Quick and the Dirty Podcast with Hillary Welch and Sandra Plagakis.
Some people are calling it the COVID-19 because of the actual pandemic, but I like to call the COVID-19 the amount of weight I am probably going to gain when this is all done.
Sandra, this is bad news bears. I barely roll out of bed. At least you're still going into work. I roll out of bed, fall down the stairs into my home studio.
Do you even put on pants?
Some days, no.
Why bother, right? Bra, underwear, like too much, right?
It's so much work.
Hillary, if I had to describe myself right now, I would say I look like a fat guy with good hair. Like it's not good. I can't, like, I have stretchy pants that I normally don't wear, like leggings and stuff, and I'm busting the elastics on them. That's how bad it is.
The elastic looks like the elastic on your period underwear that is just holding on by a thread.
Like by a thread. And you know, the worst part is that 6 weeks ago, I wouldn't have been caught dead wearing these elasticy pants. And now I'm like, I don't care. COVID rules, man. I'll wear whatever the hell I want if it fits and it's half clean. Like, it doesn't matter anymore.
What really worries me is not just the weight, but also the amount of drinking that I'm doing. It's not good. Like, I've totally given up on class. I had to explain to the person at the LCBO the other day that bottled wine is now too classy. We've gone boxed.
Hold on a minute. Hold on. Oh, I was hoping it would never come to this.
Oh, my God. And the box, it just shows off. On the side of every boxed wine, it says, stays fresh for 6 weeks. Give me a break. In what world is that lasting 6 weeks?
Typically, it's like 4 liters, right?
Right.
So it's like 4 bottles. Be honest. How often are you going through the boxed vinos right now?
Like every couple of weeks.
All right. Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, but I have one red and one white.
You fancy. Oh my God. Do you know what I've done? I have a trick actually to slow my drinking down.
Okay.
Because I don't have, I'm like, in healthy times, I don't really have an off switch, but in COVID times, I really don't have an off switch. So I started drinking, I'm a red wine girl, but red is like, I'm drunk fast. So right. I'm doing like cheap white wine, the Pinot Grigios, and I'm doing white wine spritzers and I put fancy berries on top to make myself feel like I'm fancy.
The worst part about the COVID thing is that when you're out in public, like in normal times, when you're out in public and you're drinking, you shut yourself down before you make a fool of yourself, right?
That's right.
There's no witnesses.
Well, you and I do a Zoom party. Like we have a standing Saturday night Zoom party and I basically bring you into the bathroom with me when I pee 400 times. There's no shame there. I don't care. No. And I love when I go to the bathroom. Gail, our friend, she's like, are you in the bathroom again? I can tell by the pictures. No.
But that's just like having a Zoom call with your drinking cheerleaders. It's not really.
That's true. It's not. It's just, and we all, the first way, how we start our Zoom call, our party every week is we brag about how much we've already had before the party begins. I've already had 3 bottles, guys. What are you drinking?
Yeah. People are talking a lot about how it's the end times right now. It's going to be my end times pretty soon.
I think we can all agree that these have been interesting times, strange times, and difficult times for a lot of people. But one of the questions now that we're like getting deeper and deeper into the pandemic is for all the single people out there who are probably asking themselves, how do I get some during a pandemic? Getting some is probably important because, I mean, if you're single and you're living alone, like, Hashtag, where's the sex in your life, right? And there are dating apps out there who are now making adjustments to help you find somebody in pandemic times. And one of those websites is called Wandoor. And today we're really excited to have the co-founder and the chief communications officer from that dating app. Please welcome Chelsea Sauve. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So, Chelsea, your app, what kind of changes have you made with it to make it more COVID friendly?
So the entire ethos of our app was initially that we are the only dating app that plans a first date for every match. So the ethos is in person all the way. Let's get us off our phones, off of texting. Clearly in a COVID-19 era where it's socially responsible and required to have physical distancing, that is not happening. So we pivoted to digital dates, which basically require that the match who have met in a fashion that's quite akin to, or match, sorry, in a fashion that's quite akin to how they would have matched previously, they would engage in a digital date where one of our staff members gets on the line with them initially, partakes in a little bit of trivia with them. So it's not just an awkward first meeting of hello, right? There's this notion that there is something external that can stimulate the conversation. You get the trivia going, and then we head off the call and leave the digital daters to their own devices to have a nice chat, hopefully.
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 Okay. When you developed this app, obviously you did so thinking that there was some kind of a hole in the dating app market. What did you feel was missing?
Absolutely. So with traditional dating apps, a lot of the various apps that are out there have taken a slightly different approach. So for example, there was the initial Tinder, and then you went to Bumble where they said, okay, women have to make the first move. And then there's a bit of variation with Hinge where they say, let's amp up this profile and make it more in-depth so people actually know who they're going to engage with on a deeper level before they decide to swipe right. So each of them took a varied approach, but none of them went all the way to overcome the main pain point that my co-founders and I really felt existed, which was that these conversations that you're having don't lead to dates. And what is a dating app meant to do? It's meant to foster dates, not pen pals. And so we decided, okay, we're going to come up with something different where a first date is actually planned. So these daters don't have to go through the various pain points that we had experienced on the traditional dating apps. And one of those is indecision. So when do you ask the person to meet up in person? What do you ask them to do? Do you ask them too soon? Do you come across as like too eager, too desperate? All of these various anxieties that come into play. And we were like, okay, no, let's just avoid that together. Let's get away from the dichotomy of having a first date of coffee or some sort of alcoholic beverage, going out for drinks. Let's make it different. Let's make it centered around an activity. So that was one point. And then the other element was that we felt that on the traditional dating apps, you could speak to someone for, let's say, 3 weeks and think that the chemistry is like hot and think that you have wonderful banter, and then meet them in person and think, oh my God, was it your friend who was texting me? Like, there's no possible way that this is the same person. And the buildup that you have towards that meeting isn't really fair to either of you because it sets you up for disappointment. There's no way that a person alive, flawed human can possibly meet the sort of person that you've placed on this pedestal while you've been speaking with them during this texting relationship.
Right. So there are some people who just show better on paper than they do in person. And Hillary, you were in the dating app world for like a while. Like, did you find that too?
I think like dating online is so bizarre because someone can be witty and bright in text messages even, or sending messages back and forth because they have a chance to think about it, but you get them in person and they can't string a sentence together and you're like, who are you?
Yeah, and it can be totally disappointing. And so we wanted to overcome that disappointment, and we really just wanted dating apps to be about dating again, to let that spark happen in person. And the truth is that a lot of young professionals and professionals in general, just people, are busy. You don't have time to be messaging with 15 different people and trying to keep them in line, thinking, okay, who is it that I'm chatting with? Is this the guy who just traveled to Spain, or is this the guy who hasn't traveled just yet but really wants to get a scuba license? Like, just keeping all the stories in line, it doesn't feel mindful and it doesn't feel meaningful. And we wanted something that would bring the meaning back to dating and really take away from that pen pal experience. And to be fair, there is space for the traditional dating app where people just engage in these conversations and they feel validated on a different level, perhaps that they've still got it and they just want to engage in these conversations. But for people who are confident and assured and really just want to date and are sick of this sort of traditional dating app experience, Wander really does meet that need.
I don't understand how when you're online dating, you could be talking to like 10 or 15 different people. It would be easy to understand how you would lose track. But you say that people can be indecisive when it comes to meeting for the first time face to face. They just sound lazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly one perspective. I think that part of it is that when people swipe, it's not necessarily a mindful endeavor, right? A lot of it comes from, it's a bit gamified. There's a statistic that really speaks to this, which is that 93% of dating app conversations never result in an in-person meeting. And that's a really stark figure. It shows that people aren't necessarily taking it immensely seriously, that they want to engage in that conversation. They're not necessarily interested in making time in their schedule to meet up, or they don't want to go for another coffee date. They don't want to sit awkwardly for drinks if there's nothing to talk about in person. And sometimes with these dating apps, the trouble is that you've spoken about most things already in the texting dynamic that you've fostered. And so you may not recall what you've already mentioned, and you don't want to be super rude by thinking like, oh my gosh, did I already ask him what his summer plans are? I mean, outside of COVID times, obviously. I think it's multidimensional as to why people don't actually engage in that in-person meeting.
I can remember when I was online dating that I would have to put people's numbers in my phone with some sort of like their last name would always be some way to identify them, like yeah. Their career. So I had some sort of memory if they sent a message.
Oh, totally. I have a friend who, she's out of the online dating scene, but when she was in it, she would give them nicknames based on something they did on her first date with them or in the conversation. So actually the guy that she's with and has been with for 3 years, when she went on their first date, they had this epic kiss. So she called him Spider-Man, like the Spider-Man kiss. And just in her phone, he was just Spider-Man. I think he still is to this day.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you think one of the reasons that people don't run to meet each other, besides being lazy, is look how harsh I am on these people? I find it very interesting because I still have a very old school mentality about dating and how I think it should be. But I wonder too, is there fear involved as well?
I think there's definitely fear. I think there's this notion that people want to present themselves a certain way over apps. So there's this phenomenon called kitten fishing. So I guess it's derived from the term catfishing, which, just to give a brief definition, is when someone presents themselves as one thing and is actually not. So you think you're speaking to Joe, who's 25, but it's actually Jake, who's 46. So that certainly happens. But this notion of kitten fishing is the idea that somebody places photos of themselves that don't actually represent what they look like now. So it was 20 pounds ago. It was 10 years ago. It's just not representative of who you are now. And I think there's a lot of insecurity in our modern world that's fostered by social media and these claims as to what modern beauty and what modern male sort of presence looks like. And I think that certainly plays into people's fears of meeting in person. And it's easier to hide behind your phone. As was mentioned, you have time to come up with a witty response. And in person, it might be quite daunting if you don't have that chemistry and back and forth, or you have those nerves that are impeding your capacity to just be you. It can be really daunting. And I think one thing with traditional dating apps is that, again, you need to come up with the first date, right? Whereas with Wander, we plan, like the app actually plans the first date for you based on your shared interests. So the idea is that there's an activity that you're engaging with together. So you're not just sitting and trying to think of conversation points. There's something stimulating those conversation points.
Doesn't everybody kitten fish, by the way?
Sorry,
Hillary. I was going to say, doesn't everybody kitten fish? I'm sorry. You make it sound like I thought that like we all put posters or pictures of ourselves online where we're 20 pounds lighter and 5 years younger. Don't we?
I mean, I think it plays into the wider phenomenon of social media, right? And the notion that we need to present ourselves a certain way, right? Facebook has been referred to as fake book, right? I mean, nobody puts their their worst days online. And I think it does speak to that notion of perfection. And the truth is that nobody's perfect, right? And I think that reality can at times sort of jade people to the broader experience of, you know, what a partner actually means. And when you find a partner, they are going to see you on your birthday. But certainly at the beginning, I guess you don't want them to be present. For that, you want your best to put your best foot forward.
So okay, I have a question for you. You've met, you go on this prescribed date and you have a great time. And then what happens? Like, do you have to start planning your own dates? Because that's where things can go horribly wrong. It's like choosing once for dinner.
Right, right. I mean, so two things. Just to go back to kitten fishing for a second. One other thing that people do in that umbrella is they'll answer questions that aren't necessarily true to what they like. So, for example, they'll be like, oh, my God, camping. I love camping. And then you actually meet them. They're like, oh, God, bugs, ground, like so not interested in sleeping outside, right? So they just kind of misrepresent themselves on that level as well. But to speak to the dates, so what we do with the dates is that we try and plan a date that's based on the people's shared interests. So the match hopefully shares an interest. So we have these elements called badges that you select when you create your profile. And so they vary from nature to history to foodie to sports and so on. So, for example, we had a match where they both shared the badges nature and history. And based on their profiles, we thought, okay, perfect. We're going to send them to the Museum of Nature. And the app does a really good job of demonstrating which interests are aligned. Like the AI is quite good for that. And then, for example, if people don't share an interest, we've sent them to like IKEA in the past where they can just engage in this like kind of museum-like experience through IKEA and hopefully have a great time. The second date, if they do want to engage in that, so that's on our radar that they can actually have a second date planned through the app. But what we have right now is that existing couples can actually use our app as well to remain a couple. There's an already taken feature, and so you would build a profile, press the already taken feature, you would hide your profile so that your friend isn't like, I just saw you on an app, or my girlfriend said she just saw you on an app.
Right.
So your profile is hidden, and we call it ghosting yourself, and then you just send the link to your partner, and so couples can actually go on dates that are pre-planned. Because as you say, like in a traditional relationship, once you're already, not traditional, I shouldn't say that on, I mean, once you're beyond the realm of first dates, it is difficult to come up with date ideas. Like, how many days of Netflix and pizza can you handle? Like, during COVID-19 times, many. But outside of COVID-19 times.
Hillary, I think you're onto something. You talked about how hard it is to come up with dinner. You guys should do that, too.
Dinner ideas?
Meal planning kits.
Yeah.
And
that's right. Meal planning during COVID-19. I find that to be the most challenging thing, to be honest with you.
Oh, I'd love someone to do that for me. Yes, please.
I know.
Sign me up.
Chelsea, just out of curiosity, from the time that you connect with somebody on Wander to the time that you go on your first date, what's the typical time frame we're talking about?
So it would be a maximum of 2 weeks. So we predominantly offer weekend dates, so that way people's schedules tend to be a little bit more open on the weekends. So we offer a 2-weekend window. So let's say you match on a Thursday, we offer potential date slots on the upcoming Saturday and Sunday, and then the following Saturday and Sunday as well. So it could be anywhere from a week to a week and a half. Honestly, it could be 2 days if match on a Thursday and both of you have availability during one of the time slots on a Saturday. So the app does take care of that when you provide your availability and your budget.
Sounds glorious, to be honest with you. But what happens, like you say that you are even planning dates for people who are already couples.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like you're setting people up for failure. Has it dawned on you that once you guys exit their lives, it's going to get pretty shitty for them because there's nobody planning their dates?
The hope is that their chemistry is so great that it doesn't matter what they're doing. As long as they're within each other's company, they're happy, right? And that's the goal. I mean, certainly in the future, we will have something integrated into the app where you can go on a second date with the person that you've met on the app. But we hope that whatever it is that you foster on that first date is capable of allowing you to literally just like sit in a park and enjoy each other's company, that you don't necessarily have to be doing something extraordinary.
It sounds to me like you have like the whole notion of how to date and where to date and when to date covered, that you've thought of all of these things. What are
So my co-founders and I, we have a lot of experience on traditional dating apps, and we used the pain points that we had experienced as a building block for this app. And so we utilize those experiences of indecision. We utilize those experiences of delayed meeting and of boring coffee and drink dates that just, like, can you really go on another coffee date? Can you really get to know someone in that kind of environment? And the truth is, absolutely you can, but it's much easier when you're sharing an experience. And so we've sent people bouldering. We have sent people to art galleries. There's been a plethora of activities that do foster conversation. And really, that's the key. And so we have been very, very astute to that. And we also are big on listening to our user base. So we were actually a travel app before this, and it was our user base that sort of helped us to pivot into a dating app. They just started using our local activities as date spots. And we were like, oh, they're onto something. Like, let's do this. There's a need for interesting, fun first dates that overcome that, like, endless texting cycle.
And it makes sense, too, because the activity dates are really the best. Because after you've been on four or five first dates over a drink, you get tired of answering the same questions. So remind me again what you do for work. How do you feel about this? Blah, blah, blah. You end up having the same conversations over and over again.
That's right. And I guess to one, on one side of things, it at least provides you a baseline. It's like, okay, well, was that conversation more or less exciting than with the person previously? But I would agree. I think that an activity fosters something that's distinct. And one thing that's really important on our app is that we really privilege safety. And so all of our dates are planned and booked at spots that are public. So we won't send a new match off to Gatineau Park to go hiking alone, for example. And we're very attuned with catfishing. So before you go on a date, you actually have to take a selfie that's sent into the app, and the app verifies that you are who you say you are.
Since we're on the subject of first dates, Chelsea, what does your perfect first date look like?
Oh, isn't that interesting? Hmm.
And then Hillary, I'm going to ask you the same question.
That's a very good question. I mean, I think, as I mentioned before, I think the chemistry is key. If the chemistry is there, I can be happy doing anything. But I would have to say maybe something outside. I'm a huge outdoorsy person, and I really enjoy the grounding energy of being outside. So whether that's a skate on the canal during the wintertime or a walk along the canal in the summer or something that's outside and grounded in that, maybe an outdoor tour of some kind around the city. I think that would probably be it.
For Hillary? Me, a first date, it's a tough call because I love the idea of an activity first date, but depending on how much you've talked, because what if you meet up and you have zero chemistry and you've committed to doing this thing for like an hour or more and you just want out? Like that worries me.
So that's something that we've thought of. So the idea is that our dates don't go beyond an hour, and they do, I mean, an hour is an hour, right? It's not such a large commitment, and the hope is that the activity that you're doing, if the person isn't fabulous and tickling your fancy and those sparks aren't flying, at least you're still doing something that you wanted to do, right? At least you're, like, for example, we've sent people to, like, a ceramic place to paint their own mug. We've sent people to various activities that do match their interests. So, like, even if the person isn't stellar in terms of them wanting to pursue them romantically, they are doing something that they're at least interested in, right? They don't just need to, like, sit at a coffee shop hoping that a friend calls so that they can be bailed out, or like feigning illness.
Been there.
The hope is that they're doing something that they actually enjoy.
So now we live in a COVID-19 world, and you have to change and pivot once again your business model, obviously.
Yes,
and people aren't getting to meet face-to-face. How do you have an activity-based first date when you're actually self-isolating digitally?
Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult. So we only launched in December 2019, so we're a fairly new company, and late December 2019. So it's certainly a pivot for us. We were just sort of gaining momentum in our traditional first date kind of severe, and then suddenly Corona hit. So we were deeply affected, and so we definitely had to pivot. And the idea of having a digital first date that does include that trivia at the start does provide you something to focus on aside from just initial conversation. And the hope is that once our staff member exits that trivia dynamic, that you're there together and you can still discuss, like, oh, I didn't know that the only capital city in the world on Tiber River is Rome. Like, you know, those kinds of random facts that, like, who knew? So it does give you some sort of point of conversation. And the truth is that COVID-19, as brutal and daunting and uncertain as it is, it does provide us with some sort of common ground to start, right? That notion of being in unity and self-isolation, of not being able to see our families, of not being able to see our friends, of having to have a social life through virtual ways, right, and virtual means. So I do think that that's a common ground to start, and hopefully that provides them with something to jump off of, as well as the trivia, of course.
Sandra, I'm thinking that all dates need to start with trivia now, so you can know if someone's an idiot right off the bat.
I love it.
That's actually a more transparent experience.
Yeah. I know. You know, it's funny because we talk about first dates and I think, oh my God, there's a way. I mean, like you say, you know right away whether you're into somebody on the first date or you're, you know, doing the butt sniff test or whatever, I would imagine.
What?
How? Like, isn't that what, you know, like dogs do? They butt sniff. You're just checking each other out. You're just checking them out, right?
That's great.
The butt sniffing. I would be, if on a first date, I would be like watching and judging to see how, because I'm still old school. Like, I remember when I first started dating the man I married, along the way, like, I remember the very first time we went for a car ride together, he didn't open the door for me. And I was like, this guy ain't a gentleman. Anyway, I still married him. It was all good. I remember the first time I went to meet his parents. They ordered pizza and he went and got himself food. And then he sat down. He's like, you're going to go get yourself some? And I went, oh my God.
He treats you like the independent woman you are.
Well, that's true. But I mean, I was still in his parents. I still talk about this story because it traumatized me because I'd never met parents before and I was so nervous.
Right.
I needed a little help. But I mean, you judge people profusely on that first date. So I guess it's almost an icebreaker when you can sort of do it virtually now. It's just sort of like a safer ground to start.
That's very true. It's a good point. And I do think that, for example, like we've sent people to, during COVID, non-COVID-19 times, we've sent people to an escape room, for example. So you see their problem-solving skills. You see if they get frustrated easily and so on and so forth. So some of these traits can certainly be conveyed through a trivia game, for example, or through talking about what they're doing, what their day looks like in a COVID-19 era. Like, do you sleep all day? Does your Netflix never turn off? Or like, do you maybe pick up a book? Or are you still working, right? Do you go for a walk? Like, it does reveal a lot about a person's core values, I think, how they spend their days when it's not structured by leaving to go to work. It's not structured by dinner at your parents. You have to structure it yourself. And I think a lot can be revealed through that.
Have you ever thought about helping people break up with each other? That might be a good service to provide?
You know what? That's an excellent idea. I have never contemplated that, but it is very challenging to break up. Certainly, there's no right or wrong way to, well, I guess there are some wrong ways to go about it, but it can be certainly a very challenging time. No, we had never contemplated that before. It seems just a bit morose, but you know what? It can also be a new beginning. So true. Yeah, it's something to think about.
I think it's a great, Hillary, have you ever broken up with anybody?
Of course.
What? Well, I don't know. I've never really broken up with anybody. I have no idea. I married the first guy I fell in love with. I don't know about these things.
Fuck you.
Am I, though? Don't get me started, girl.
Yeah, breaking up can be really challenging, and there are feelings at play and emotions, and you're definitely usually not on the same page. It's remarkably challenging and hurtful, I think, for both parties. So it would be nice to have a little aid during that time.
How to write a breakup. Chelsea, I have a question.
Sure.
Do you have any tips for people who are doing online dates to look their best on screen? Because I cannot imagine that my first meeting is like FaceTiming somebody, because it's hard to look good.
So true. It's all about the angles and the lighting. And honestly, I think aside from that whole physical element, someone is always much more attractive when their personality shines through. And so the intonation of your voice and the setting that you find yourself in, right? What's the background? Are you using a background that's like kind of neutral? Are you using a background that says something about you? I think there are lots of ways to communicate who you are. But on a totally superficial level of looking good, yeah, everybody wants to look good. And I think it's extremely challenging. I'm not much of a makeup girl, but I think if you are into that, then yeah, if that helps you feel that you look your best, like, do it. I think before you go on your FaceTime call or however it is you're communicating, look in the mirror and be like, would I leave the house looking like this? And if you would, I think you look great. And just make sure the angle is on point on your computer or cell phone. Having some sort of stand for your cell phone is great. And yeah, just make sure you're not distracted. Honestly, I would really recommend having like a cup of tea or a cup of coffee or a cup of whatever it is you want to be drinking, your bottle of water nearby, so that if you are nervous, you're not like playing with your hair. Men and women alike do that. You're not twiddling your thumbs. Like, you have something that you can hold on to keep your hands busy.
You know, it's funny. You talked about video conferencing. Hillary and I did a Zoom conference on, was it Saturday Hills? Recently.
Yeah, we had a girls' night.
Like a Zoom conference, and it was really, really great. But it dawned on me how a stand would have really helped me out from my phone, because I was like, girl, how many chins do you have? Like, there's no, like, that was, I found that to be very frustrating, that I didn't like the angle in which that I was communicating, and I couldn't hold my phone up the whole time.
Oh, totally.
Yes.
Yeah, not the most flattering angle when your hand gets tired. Yeah.
And the other thing I notice is that when I'm thinking or I'm listening, I make a really dumb face.
I know, right?
Like a really stupid face.
No, it's challenging. But keep in mind also, we're our own biggest critics, right? Like, the person is obviously looking to see what you look like, but like, they're also distracted by what they look like, right? So keep in mind, it's like being in a yoga class where you think everyone is looking at you, but like, they're not, you know?
The worst is when you're talking and then all of a sudden the video freezes for an instant and you have a dumb shit look on your face,
like,
and you're like,
really,
God damn it. Why could I be smiling when that happened, right? Never.
Oh, you really hope so. Or you're like, oh, sorry, bad connection, I have to call you back. You just like hang up so they don't have to see that any longer. That's a good trick too. But yeah, no, definitely having a stand of some sort is hugely helpful, because then it doesn't vary with like how exhausted the muscles in your arms are, right? Like, you just have it in front of you. It stays stationary. You know that you look good at that angle. There's only one chin to see. And like, that is perfection. And honestly, they have them for really cheap on Amazon. So I definitely recommend purchasing one.
What about if you live in a house with children and you're like, shut up, kids. And you're trying to go on a date.
Maybe pop them in front of like an awesome movie that will have them captivated. And then honestly, another thing for dating during a digital era where like people know that you don't have a ton to do, I think I would set, like, I would do this on a regular date where it'd be like, okay, I only have an hour, right? Like, because on wander dates, for example, they're only an hour, right? So if I were just going for coffee with someone on our second date, I'd be like, oh, I only have an hour because blah, 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 right? So that way there is an end in sight. And if you want to extend it, you could be like, oh, it's okay, I could just push that appointment, right? So when you're sitting at home and everybody knows that like the only thing you're running towards is either to like make your kids dinner or watch another show on Netflix, you should have something. So you can say like, oh, you know what? I only have 45 minutes for our chat. Like, I need to do whatever for my kids or whatever's coming next. Oh, I have a hike that I'm headed on shortly. That way there is a time frame that you're working with.
Well, Chelsea, thanks so much for joining us today to talk about the app and dating in the digital age. It's a different world.
It totally is for everybody. It's my pleasure. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Well, best of luck to you, and you stay healthy. I think
Thank
that's
you,
how
you as well.
Yeah,
take care.
I think that's what everybody says now to end conversations, isn't it? Just stay healthy.
It's the truth.
Awesome.
Stay healthy and grounded.
If people want to check out the app, what is the, is it just Wandoor, but it's spelt a little different?
It is,
run through that?
It is. is a hybrid between wandering and adventure slash endurance, because you need to have both to date. So it is wandure.com, and right on our homepage you'll see a button to download the link, and we also have a blog and social media, so you're welcome to check all of that out.
This episode is over, but the conversation doesn't have to be. Follow Hillary and Sandra on social. Instagram at Hillary on Air, at SandraKiss1053. Twitter at Hillary Welch, at SandraKiss1053. And on Facebook at Quick and Dirty Podcast. Got a question? Email Hillary and Sandra, thequickandthedirty@gmail.com. Don't forget, you can download the podcast each week to your mobile device to listen offline. Find The Quick and the Dirty on frequencypodcastnetwork.com, iTunes, or wherever you download your podcasts.